Are you going to be looking out for any Black Friday deals?
No, I don't think so.
I've got some cargo pants ready, a tactical belt filled with different type of assault sprays.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to hit that Walmart hard, y'all.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfun Elijah. I'm here with my friends and experienced Apple writers, John Brownlee, Deputy Editor, Cultimac. Hey, John, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello.
And as usual, Buster Heine is here as well. Buster.
Boom.
best opening welcome ever. Thank you for that.
Well, that was the sound of a Heine being busted.
Oh, wow. Sonic Heine boom. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. It's our Thanksgiving Day episode. And in honor of Thanksgiving, I wanted to say this.
Gobble, gobble, yo.
That's my, that's me impersonating Tim Cook, impersonating a turkey. Okay. At his Thanksgiving Day dinner.
Nice.
I wonder what Tim Cook's going to be having for Thanksgiving dinner. I wonder if he cooks for himself. I mean, I hate to get cheesy, but his last name is Cook. I wonder if he's actually a good cook.
I doubt it.
No way. And he has tofurkey written all over him.
Yeah, he does. Good right? point. Well, he's now the highest paid CEO in the world. Making about $95 million a year, so he probably has like a super nice Whole Foods spread, you know. Like he probably has, like you go to his house, right? And once you can find him within the 100-room mansion that he lives in, he probably has a turkey that's been carved out of tofurkey, so it looks exactly like a turkey. But as soon as you poke it with a knife, it deflates. and fills the room with the wonderful smell of soy. Hey, before the show gets any worse, I do want to mention our sponsor is Audible. Audible, the best place on the internet to get your audio entertainment, aka audiobooks. I want to thank them for sponsoring the show. They're back to sponsor. We definitely appreciate that. We're going to tell you a little bit more about them a little bit farther into the show. And also, I want to make some book recommendations on books that you could get from Audible, because when you sign up for a trial account through the link we're going to give you a little bit later, you can get a free membership to Audible, free trial membership, and that comes with a free audiobook of your choice. So I've got some suggestions, and actually, John, I bet you have a lot of interesting suggestions, because you read a lot, don't you?
Well, I try to read a lot, yeah.
But don't tell me yet. Think of one, and I'll give a suggestion, then I'd like to hear yours, because you are... You are an eccentric man, and I bet you have some really interesting audio choices, or I should say book choices.
Oh yeah, well I'll try to come up with my most erotic choices.
That would be great. Actually, that's kind of hoping I was kind of hoping where you'd go with that. Hey, being our Thanksgiving episode, I just wanted to take a moment to reflect upon, how far or how long it's been since we. How long ago since we started the Cultcast? Man, we're getting kind of close to a year, actually. It's been just about 10 months now. And I just wanted to say how thankful I am for all you listeners out there who have started listening to the show, been with us since the very beginning. It's been a crazy ride, since we started the Cultcast. We debuted at the number 6th most popular podcast on iTunes, which was... hard to believe, actually. I think when we did it, I didn't realize that we were actually number 6. I thought maybe we were just number 6 in the technology category or something. And since then, we've been all throughout the iTunes top 10 charts and the top positions and the bottom positions. But it's an honor to even be there at all, actually. So if you're listening to this, thank you. We really appreciate you guys listening to the show. I hope everyone is having a great Thanksgiving. And for all of you soldiers, I know we have quite a few military people listening to the show. And if you're overseas, you're not with your families, thank you for your service. And we hope you enjoy the show and have a great Thanksgiving. Let's reminisce about something we talked about last show. We, Buster, we talked about Asian men holding hands.
Oh yeah.
And it was a little controversial, and I hope it didn't offend anyone because we were just doing it to have a good time. And funny enough, I got a ton of responses from people about this particular topic, more so than any Apple topic we've definitely ever covered. And people from all over the world were tweeting me and sending me emails, letting me know that, yes, in their countries, it is not abnormal for two men to hold hands platonically and share their love. And I actually am a little envious because I would love to do that with you, Buster, particularly.
Well, wait a second. Me and Buster did this all through CES. Like,
well, I noticed.
Did you not get the men, like the memo there?
Well, you know, I thought maybe you guys were just a thing, an item, if you will. But now I know that you are just totally platonically in love. And Buster, you were going to tell a story. You said you were sad that you had missed that episode because you were going to tell us a story about your experience with men holding hands, right?
Yeah, because I lived in the Philippines for a while, which is also part of Asia.
Thank you. Yes, that's very true. And, as is Turkey, if you didn't know. So many non-Asian countries, but continue.
It's so nice when we have Professor Heine on the show.
Yes. Yeah, please, enlighten us, Professor Heine.
So Asian guys in the Philippines, like, first they would give Americans like me a lot of crap. Like, they would, you know, for some reason, they just love to tease us. Because I don't know why. I'm not going to say it's because of my skin color or anything.
Well, that would be racist of them.
But they would, you know. But the funny thing would be is, you know, they would always call you, like, Hey Joe, because, I don't know, G.I. Joe or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they would always call Americans Joe, and that would just piss me off all the time.
Maybe they were just big Jimi Hendrix fans.
Maybe.
But anyway, continue.
So they would be like, oh, hey, Joe. Like, they would start crap with us and, like, get in my face and everything. You'd have, like, these high school kids who would, you know, try and taunt us and everything. And then as soon as they were done making fun of us, they would walk away holding hands. Just talking shit. And then once they were done, they'd be like, all right, give me your hand. I'm
just
walk
like
out
totally there. Ruffling you for being a sissy. And then
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Right.
Well, maybe they're just walking off showing solidarity and what a loser they think you are.
Like. Probably. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate insult that you're not part of their culture. So they walk away holding hands and you're just there, head bowed in shame.
Yeah.
Buster, wouldn't it be nice if you had a best friend you could walk away holding hands with? Like,
that's I have a feeling that, Buster, you do.
Oh, I got lots of friends I can
hold. Yeah, I always see these pictures of you hiking and stuff. I would imagine that you guys sit around the campfire with a nice alcoholic beverage that's probably very sweet, and you hold hands.
You know, the thing is, when you hold hands with another man in America, it's kind of like chicken, you know, see who's going to stop first. And a lot of times, everybody loses.
Yeah, you know, I don't mind doing it. And I especially think it's funny because we're, as you mentioned, in Western culture, not super comfortable with it. But then once you're right, because you're like, well, I'm not sure who's supposed to let go first.
Yeah.
Well, now it's getting uncomfortable.
Well, what are these situations you two were getting yourself into? Where you don't know what to, like, I mean, like, do you do this when somebody tries to shake your hand? Like, oh, I don't know. Like,
you know what? I just have friends who just, I don't know. They're like me and they think it's funny. Like, oh, let's show each other some physical affection.
It's like when you're at the bar and you're having a drink and you put your hand on your friend's leg and then you just gently squeeze it and then just leave it there.
Yeah. I bet Steve Jobs and Tim Cook walked around holding hands. You know,
probably.
You know him and Johnny Ive did it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I bet that happened all the time. All right. Well, hey, speaking of Johnny Ive, let's talk about some Apple stuff. Although arguably that would be the best part of the show. Apple is going to be having some Thanksgiving sales. They posted in a Black Friday teaser. And for those who aren't in the U.S., Black Friday is our holiday right after Thanksgiving where we all go crazy because electronics and all these other consumer goods get super cheap. Super cheap. And Apple posted their teaser. I don't know if you guys heard this, but they're actually having a pretty major sale. Did you guys hear any of the specifics? They're going to have $2 off the iPad, and if you buy two MacBook Pros, you can save $5 on an iPhone.
Oh,
this
shit
is like their biggest sale of the year. It's gonna be crazy. Sorry, what?
The deals are a little better than that, but like it is kind
of. But not much. Not much.
Yeah, not much. Like, I mean, I think that the best deal you can get is like you can get $100 off of kind of like a top of the line iMac, which is, you know, great. That's $100, but it's not.
You know, it's nothing. Yeah. I mean, I think it's honestly, it's better to be a PC person come Black Friday, right? Because all the PC components get dirt cheap.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why Apple's having a Black Friday sale. It's probably just to nudge the people who were already going to buy something, just to give them a little bit more motivation because they're Black Friday sales. I wish I could be excited for them, but they're arguably never very good.
Well, I mean, they're, you know, I think that the way they figure it is there are like a shocking amount of people who do all of their Christmas shopping the day after Thanksgiving, you know, and I think that they're kind of just, you know, in the mind that, you know, they may as well, you know, get people in there for that day, I, you know, instead of their competitors, you know, but they're not offering anything major, I don't think.
No, right. I don't think they are either.
But,
so,
but I think, there. I don't think anybody is offering anything major. Like, I think that Black Friday sales are just, you know, a joke. Yeah. Unless you're doing it on, like, Black Friday's for people who've never heard of the internet, you know?
Right. I was just saying this to Buster, because I'm going to be waiting in line at Best Buy with my utility belt of assault sprays, and I'm going to be ready to run in there and douse anyone who tries to take my Xbox games from me, because I really am into saving, you know, $5 per game. On games that you never want to play, like Virtua Tennis.
Did you guys hear about these the people who were like waiting in line on Tuesday last week?
Yes, I was just talking to Buster about this pre-show. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, like, I want to make clear that I think that a lot of like anti-Black Friday talk kind of veers pretty quickly into classist stuff, and you know, if you don't have money and like you're trying to get a good deal for some, you know, for a loved one or something, like if that's the only way you can afford it, like I certainly understand, and you know, more power to you. But you know, like for me though, like Black Friday is kind of like the zombie apocalypse of consumerism for the most part. Like there's not, you know, like it's people who are so, I mean, for the most part, it seems to me that most people are not like that. They're people who are so just sort of like drunk off of the idea of a bargain that they're not actually seeing the fact that they're not getting one.
Yeah, because all they get are bargains on a bunch of cheap crap that's not good, and they'll have like one good item and you'll save like $10 on it.
Yeah,
and that's,
know,
it. You got sprayed in the face with mace repeatedly to save $10 on that one item.
You had to murder an old woman. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I mean,
yeah, right. And cover your face with her blood. Was it worth it? You know, my favorite is this thing going around Facebook where people were like, they're like, if you were shopping Black Friday deals, you're part of the problem and you need to buy local instead of buying, you know, cheap consumer stuff from China. And I'm like, yes, because I really want to buy local goods made from local animal furs.
Elts.
Yes, that's literally what you get. like no one local is making iPads. No one local is making video games. Like, the people I know that are making things that are local are, like, bead necklaces, you know, like, custom-made purses. It's like, that stuff's cool, but you only need one every few years. Like, none of the good stuff is local. And that sucks to say, but it's true. Like, you kind of have to buy stuff from China if you're going to get anything good.
I'd love it if there was like a neighborhood Italian craftsman making iPad clones. Like that would be great. Like, you know, I mean, that would be fantastic. I would totally buy. I would buy local in that case. But
yeah, it would be your first and last local made iPad.
Well, I mean, how many of you guys are going to buy, you know, tech stuff for Christmas anyway as gifts for people? Like, I tend to feel giving somebody a gift of tech. I don't know.
It feels impersonal.
I agree.
I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I that it costs Kindle like $300 or $400. Yeah. Say what, Buster?
I just said I gave my dad a Kindle 1 year and like he uses it, but I don't know.
That's cool.
It wasn't a cool gift, I realized.
I feel like that's a cool gift. But the problem you run into, right, is like you're never really sure if they're going to use it.
Exactly.
And for us guys that like tech stuff, I mean, wouldn't you guys agree? You always would rather just buy it for yourself.
Well, we're tech sophisticates. Like, I mean, you know.
Yes, we are.
Well, no, we are. Like, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever had that experience where somebody you love has given you like a tech oriented gift, and like obviously they really, really think you're gonna like it, and the second you open it, like your heart just sinks.
It's
like,
right.
You know, it's like you're, you know, it's like being a wine snob and somebody's like, oh, you like wine. Here's a nice bottle of red. And you're like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's this vintage was known for the locusts, or like, you know, whatever. Like, it's like the thoughts there, but they're, you know, your expertise is so much deeper in a way that they can't really understand.
Fathom.
Like, yeah, like I can't even understand what your criteria are. Like, you know, it's I mean, you know, I this happens to me every year, so I'm kind of like, I kind of just don't feel like tech is a great gift.
No, it's not. And I totally hear what you're saying as far as like the intricacies of the things that we like in tech. I got a hard drive 1 year because I've been talking about how much I want a hard drive, and actually I'm looking for hard drives this year too, right? Because I always need bigger hard drives. And 1 year somebody gave me one and I was like, oh, I opened it and I'm like, oh, it doesn't spin at 7,200 RPM. Oh, like, like the buffer is only 32 megabytes, right? These are things that they're like, it's a hard drive. I thought you wanted a hard drive. And I was like, yeah, but you know, this isn't really the brand that I would have bought. It's a Seagate. It's probably going to die in a year or less. You know, it's like the absolute dumbest stuff, but it's actually really important when it comes to buying hard drives. But how would they ever know this? Can you imagine being a mom and buying your kid a hard drive?
Oh, I know. I mean, look, I have a lot of feeling for people, but I think that's why I just think that this stuff is just, you know, unless you know exactly what you're doing. I mean, actually, even if you know what you're doing, like, I can't tell you what phone my cousin wants. Like, I might think she wants an iPhone, but you know, who knows? She might want like a Nokia because it comes in pink or something like that. You know, you can't tell what criteria people are judging tech by.
Okay, well, you are definitely a tech sophisticate. You pronounced it correctly too.
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason I know how to pronounce this correctly is I once had this excruciating conversation at a party with this like pale bald albino.
Excruciating for you or him?
No, it was for me because this pale bald albino who was talking. He worked at Nokia and he just kept on going like Nokia. And every set of time I said, so you were, you know, like Nokia? And he'd be like Nokia and like really banged it through my head. So
that's funny because, you know, the company Nikon is actually pronounced Nikon, but Americans always say Nikon and it always annoys British people. I know, but I know that it's Nikon, but I call it Nikon anyway, because I don't want to annoy my American friends. You've given in, John.
I've given in.
Let's talk about IMAX. This is important news. Everyone, we heard a bunch of rumors that IMAX were going to be delayed, but now the rumor is that they are not going to be delayed. You should be seeing the 21.5-inch new IMAX shipping by the end of this month, and then we should be getting the 27-inch IMAX, by next month. But the supplies are expected to be limited. Buster, do you have anything you want to add to this? Because I know that you wrote the story on it. Or did I just sum it up perfectly?
Yeah, I mean, there's not really any more information other than that. I mean, it'll probably be limited in production. They were saying that they were having problems with the screen because the screen's laminated, unlike the old versions of the iMac. So you probably won't really see them a lot until 2013, but you should be able to get your hands on one before Christmas time, is what some rumors are saying.
Well, you know, you can always just go and buy one locally. I'm sure somebody locally is.
Yeah, somebody has an iMac somewhere.
So I'm sure somebody locally is making an iMac. You can go buy.
Are you guys excited about these thinner iMacs?
I'm not excited about it because it's thinner. Because it's, I mean, it's thinner on the edges, but the back is still huge.
Booty, you know, girl.
Thin edges. But well, I need
it. Like, let's say it wasn't huge. Like, what if it was like thin all the way through? Like, I just don't see the value of thinness on a desktop.
For a desktop? Yeah, you're right. I mean, unless you're going to mount it to your wall or something like that for some reason, but you're not.
Well, you guys saw that picture of that guy who took his to Starbucks, right? It'll be easier for that guy.
Yeah.
8 pounds lighter now.
Yeah, so. Right. I don't know. I mean, I even though it doesn't really make any tangible difference to be lighter and thinner, I still like that it's lighter and thinner. And I still think the old one is now absolute garbage that you probably should be embarrassed to own.
I have a 28.7 inch from 2009, and like I still love it to death. Like, I mean, it's the machine I work on all day long, every day. Like, I mean,
oh really? You know, I thought I would have had you pegged as a MacBook Air guy.
Oh, I have a MacBook Air, and I do use that, but and I use it a lot. But I when I'm going out and stuff like that. But if I'm working from home, you know, I'm on the 27 inch. You know, it's a great machine. Like I love it. Like, and I have zero interest in having it thinner. Like, I'm only seeing it dead on. Like, dead on thinness doesn't matter.
Yeah, but what about the people approaching you and they're coming up on your computer? They're like, "Wow, look at the back of that thing." Oh, John obviously knows what he's doing.
Oh yeah, no, I know. I'm gonna like drunkenly stumble and like decapitate myself on the razor thin Mac.
That's gonna be an eventual in future news story. So once the iMacs get so thin, they're actually dangerous, and people trip and chop their heads off on them. Once they can be used as guillotines, I think they've taken it too far.
I think that's a story we'll be writing a lot of in 2013.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, before we go any further, let's talk about Audible. I love that they're a sponsor because I honestly think that Audible is one of the best places on the internet to get your audio entertainment, audiobooks. They have over 100,000 titles. Every conceivable genre of book, probably even genres you may not have heard about, like romantic mystery. I'm sure they have topics in erotic asphyxiation for you, John. Oh. That's actually a hard word to say for me. I'm not sure why. But you should definitely check out Audible. If you're not a member, I'm going to give you a link here in just a sec that you can go to where you can sign up for a free trial. And it's absolutely free. I definitely would encourage you to sign up because you get a free audiobook. And I'm going to give a recommendation because we have The Hobbit coming out in, what, I think 3 weeks now?
Yeah.
And I'm a huge, huge Lord of the Rings fan. I love fantasy books. And you would think that I would recommend The Hobbit, but I'm not going to recommend that because it's actually a kid's book if you've never read it before. And it's very, very short. So I would recommend you actually revisit any of the Lord of the Rings books, maybe Fellowship of the Ring, which is one of the first ones. And kind of get prepared to take in all that is Peter Jackson, and go see The Hobbit in the movie theater. So that's what I would recommend checking out, because the audiobook version of The Fellowship of the Ring is actually really great. John, what book would you recommend?
Oh, you know, I don't know what's on Audible. Unfortunately, I didn't know that they were our sponsor before this. But
well, tell you what, why don't you start talking about it, and I will in live real time. Check out to see if they actually have it.
Okay, well, I really liked Kazuo Ishiguro's Never Let Me Go.
I thought that was a title. I was like, dude, I can't spell that. What is it?
It's called Never Let Me Go. It's probably in there.
They have it. Boom.
Yeah,
they have it.
That's a beautiful book. And, you know, if you... Well, it's kind of really not something that I feel like I should talk about. Like,
well,
I'll
read you the synopsis from Audible's website.
All right.
It's an edge of your seat mystery. That's heartbreakingly tender, morally courageous, and it will tell you what it means to be a human. Does that sound accurate?
I think that I would argue that I don't think that it's an edge of your seat mystery, but like, but I think all the other stuff is, you know, is true. Like it's, you know, I can say that, you know, if you're a science fiction fan, you'll like it. If you,
oh really? Are, okay.
You're a fan of romances, you'll like it. If you're a fan of, you know, sort of, British dramas, you'll love it. Like,
oh, I love British dramas.
It is the most beautiful book I've read in the last couple years. So.
Wow. And you read a lot.
Yeah. So I definitely recommend it.
Okay, great. Well, see, there you go. Audible has it. They literally have everything. I mean, they have so many titles. Head over to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast, and you'll have the opportunity to sign up for a free trial. You can get pretty much any audiobook you want, and that will be free. And, you know, even if you decide that you don't want to sign up for an account, head over to the head to the website. That lets Audible know that you're a CultCast listener. It lets them know that you appreciate their sponsorship. And then they look at that and they say, oh, whoa, these CultCast guys, like, they have an audience that's actually interactive. And it makes them want to sponsor our show, which, of course, helps you bring us delightful conversations about Asian men holding hands. So if you want to hear more conversations like that, please head over to audiblepodcast.com/CultCast. And we definitely appreciate you guys doing that. Let's move on, guys. I want to talk about my good pal Gene Munster, who I was on old Genie. That's what I call him, old Genie. And I was on a show with him, kind of surprisingly, I think about a year and a half or two ago. And we were talking about Apple products together, and that was exciting for me. But he's made some predictions. I want to get your thoughts on these predictions. Old Genie, he's saying that we're going to see an Apple HD TV for around $2,000 come September of next year. And he's also saying that we're going to see an iPad mini with Retina display in around March of next year. The iPad mini with Retina display, I think, is a no-brainer. We're eventually going to see that. It's just a question of when. I think the Apple TV could go either way. I mean, it's obvious Apple's working on a TV, but whether or not they're actually going to release it and when is a big question. John, what do you think?
Well, I thought Gene Munster's been predicting an Apple TV for 5 years. Pretty much, you know, like he's basically been saying every single year it's coming this year. So eventually he's going to be right because, you know, Apple does need to they do need a TV. You know, a set-top box isn't going to be enough. You know, the only way that Apple can control the living room is if it's the gadget that every other every other piece of hardware in a living room goes through, and that's the TV. That, you know, they can't be the cable box. They can't be the cable company, so they have to be the television. Like, that's the only way they can make sure that they're not cut out of the living room by the competition. So it's going to happen, but, you know, obviously the cable industry doesn't want Apple in the living room. They've seen what they've done to the music industry. They've seen what has happened to the telecoms, you know, in dealing with Apple. Like, they gave Apple an inch and Apple took a mile and just completely redefined the industry towards right. Apple's terms. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the cable companies are being a lot smarter, a lot more reticent. It's possible that Apple will never get the terms it needs to go into the living room. In that sense, like, you know, it'll be interesting to see what we get. Like, do we get a stripped down Apple TV as kind of like, you know, the first product that really shows like a post Steve Jobs decline, or, you know, will they build it up over time? It's interesting. I think that the, you know, Munster's predictions about like he predicts two new generations of the iPad mini next year. He's predicting he's predicting a lot of kind of strange timeline stuff.
That's a good summary of it, yeah.
Like, he thinks we'll see a Retina iPad mini in March, and, you know, I don't know. That's really aggressive timing.
Buster, I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
No, that's about it.
Buster, any thoughts on it?
No, I think John's right. I feel like the Apple TV has become Gene Munster's white whale. You know, like, he's like trying to will it into existence. And I think, like John said, it probably will happen eventually. But I don't think he has any solid information anymore.
Well, it's like Steve Jobs says. It's like, if you live every day as if it were your last, someday you'll eventually be right.
Yeah.
One day we're going to be like, that Gene Munster, man, he had it nailed. like, it's gonna, like, the Apple TV is gonna debut at $4,000. Eventually, it'll come down to $2,000, and they'll be like, "Dude, he nailed it! That guy's crazy, old Genie."
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, like, right. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff about the. I mean, he is predicting interesting things. Like, for example, he predicts that an Apple TV is going to cost about $2,000, and like the. You know, a regular TV of that size is about $1,000 now, like, yeah. A perfectly good one. And like, for me, that, you know, his prediction there is makes perfect sense. Like, of, you know, because while you can buy a non-Apple TV for, you know, $1,000, Apple has traditionally used higher, you know, suggested retail prices as a way to signify like quality to customers. In addition, Apple doesn't play the same game that everybody else does. So while everybody else is, you know, if you look at the television makers, they're all basically going bankrupt. You know, and this is without Apple in the market.
Oh my gosh, like, can you imagine once they enter? Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, Apple is going to completely shake up the industry, and they're going to do it by releasing a television that people are going to think is simply absurdly priced. But, you know, just like the iPhone, when it came out, everybody thought that it was, you know, absurdly priced.
Hey, Buster, let me ask you about iTunes 11. You recently wrote that we're going to be seeing it, or we might be seeing it in the next few days, because I've actually had quite a few people ping me about this and ask me when we're finally going to see it. Can you tell us what you know?
Nothing's even come out by Apple, but a music distribution group in Germany was sending artists emails telling them, you know, and labels emails telling them, if they want to update their artwork and stuff, they need to get ready because iTunes is coming out in a few days. It didn't come from Apple, so
yeah,
you can't say.
The Germans would know that.
Well, I mean, the reasoning behind that is, you know, if at iTunes 11 does need new artwork and stuff like that, Apple probably would alert labels beforehand to help them get a head start on it. Huh. I don't know. It could go either way. That's either wishful thinking because it's towards the end of the month. So, and Apple said it would be by the end of November. So yeah, get your stuff in, or that maybe they do know something. So that one's kind of hard to say for sure. We figured that they would release iTunes 11 before the Thanksgiving break because most employees get the whole week off, and Apple probably wouldn't want to release it after coming in cold, you know, after a week break.
Oh yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, we should be seeing it any day now. I'm actually excited to update it because I like the new UI that they've introduced into iOS. So I would love to see some of those elements built into the regular iTunes as well because its current design has been around forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I'm interested to see how they're going to change it. But hey, let's talk about Facebook. John, you actually wrote about this and. You made a point that I thought was really, really right on. Facebook wants to upload every photo you take on your iPhone to its servers automatically. And I guess they're rolling this out to some people, but not to everyone. And this, correct me if I'm wrong, John, was this in the Facebook camera app or was it in the normal app?
No, it's in the normal. It's in the normal app.
Go ahead.
It is opt-in. Like, I think that's an important distinction to make. Like, it's opt-in, which, you know, is not Facebook's MO. They've, you know, are almost never opt-in. So, right. You know, like it's definitely something that they're testing. I just kind of am concerned that someday down the line, they'll just decide that it's another opt-out setting and just start silently sucking gigabytes of recent photos from everybody's phones.
This also, is crazy. Who would want to do this? Like, no, I don't want Facebook taking my photos without my explicit permission every time.
Okay, here's the funny thing. Like, last night, I left my friends in my apartment. Like, they were playing a video game, and I had to go play basketball. So I just gave them the keys and told them to lock up.
Yeah.
As a little joke, they decided it would be funny to get naked in my bed and take pictures with my iPad mini and set that as, like, the background on my iPad mini. It was funny. But if, like, Facebook automatically uploaded those photos, there's a bunch of,
recognize their faces and tag them.
Oh, yeah. So it could be a great thing.
I mean, I'm guessing the way they would handle it is they would, you know, take these pictures. They would, you know, apply whatever like auto facial recognition algorithms they could to it. And then when you visited Facebook, you know, proper, it would be like, we think this is a picture of you and your friend Buster. Do you want to put it into an album? Like, I think it would just become another nag setting. But, you know, it's just another piece of information like that I don't really want Facebook to have. Like, I don't, you know, Facebook, I don't really know. I mean, I know some people live on Facebook, but, you know, Facebook is not, I mean, Facebook is a destination that I will occasionally go to. It's not like the central nervous system of my digital life. And, you know, I think that Facebook kind of needs to stop treating itself as if it's that. I mean, you know, it's not like, And I think people are getting really sick of it. Like, you know, there's just, I mean, I know people who love Facebook who can't make head or tails of it anymore.
Yeah, it is getting really complicated. And ever since the redesign, I've started using it a lot less just because I really hate the new the way they have it laid out now. I just think it's awful. But this has made me think that I probably need to create an album that is titled Professor Heine Strikes Again. And it'll just be Buster having used my phone to take naked pictures of himself in different various locations.
That's what I'm going to do, too.
And that way, when Facebook sucks those pictures up to its servers, as John so eloquently put it, it will auto-tag you and it just goes right into that album. Because that way I have them all in one place.
I like that idea. I mean, it's perfect.
Hey, guys, I think we should wrap up with this. You probably know that I love to talk about Oprah. And I talk about her as often as I can. But unfortunately, on this podcast, I don't get to mention her nearly as much as I would like. So this is a perfect opportunity to talk about Oprah and the Microsoft Surface, which I also love. The greatest tablet of all time. She apparently recently tweeted about her love for the Microsoft Surface, and apparently Oprah doesn't realize that when you tweet, Twitter shows the source where the tweet originated from, and it came from an iPad. So that was a little embarrassing, and actually it kind of ties into what we talked about last show. Actually, you guys weren't on, either of you were on last show, so let me tell you. I was a little annoyed about those Microsoft commercials using all those celebrities to pimp their products that, like, to me, it was obvious, don't actually use those products. They're getting, like, Kesha and Will Arnett to pimp the Windows Phone. I'm like, do they really use those products? I don't think so. They seem pretty cool.
Celebrities like John Malkovich and Martin Scorsese.
Well, that's exactly the point that Leander brought up. I actually didn't like that either, especially the Samuel L. Jackson one and the Zooey Deschanel one. I was like, these are so bad. But, you know, at least they were true to life, because I bet you Samuel L. Jackson and Zooey actually use iPhones. They probably don't use Siri. And I doubt that Samuel L. Jackson is talking to Siri about his gazpacho. But you like my gazpacho, Siri? I thought you would. Sam, can you please stop yelling? No, I can't stop yelling. That's the way I talk. That was a Dave Chappelle joke. I've been watching that series lately. Anyway, I digress. So Oprah tweets about these freaking services. She says, these are some of my favorite things. And
that is not the way Oprah
says. No, not at all. Not at all.
Some of my favorite things. Oprah.
All right.
Favorite things. Is that better?
You gotta go crazy.
I kind of wonder if this might be conspiracy theory. I kind of wonder if she's getting paid to tweet about these.
Oh, she is.
You think so?
I guarantee it. Like, one of her favorite things one year was, like, a Pontiac G5. Like, come on. Who likes that car? Give me a break.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Or, like,
point.
The Volkswagen Bug. Like, psh.
Oprah has never even set foot in a Pontiac without being paid to.
Exactly. Well, like, her favorite thing, it's so terrible because, yeah, it is. It's just, you know, a way for companies to market to women. But if you watch, like, the episode where she says, like, the iPad is her favorite thing of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember
women
that.
Women are weeping over it, you know, when she announces it. They're like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. Like an iPad.
Well, here's a question. Do you think that Apple paid her to recommend it?
I don't know.
No,
that's why what I was wondering was, did Apple pay her? I have no idea. Maybe.
I think that there's a good chance that they do. I mean, we know that probably. You know, we know Apple sponsors shows. We know they do paid promotional consideration. Like, you know, and Oprah's pretty much like, you know, the person you want to endorse your product.
If you're looking to get into the middle-aged women market, then yeah.
Yeah, she said she was buying like a bunch of them to give out gifts. And I'm like, geez, well, crappy gifts.
Because what she used to do is for like her favorite things show, she would buy everybody in the audience a free one of that object. I don't think she has her show anymore though, right?
She doesn't have the Oprah Winfrey show.
Well, she has a network now.
Yeah, she has a whole network, right.
Yeah, and I think that by everybody in the audience, you mean like arrange for them to be donated. Yeah,
yeah, right.
So I just thought it was kind of cheesy because I'm like, you're talking about the freaking Surface. You're tweeting about it from an iPad. So, well, we don't even know if it was her. It was probably one of her people, honestly. But, like, talk about a noob mistake.
Well, also keep in mind that Windows 8 doesn't actually, because of Twitter's like draconian rules on third-party clients, Windows 8 like doesn't actually have a native
Twitter client.
Yeah, it doesn't have any Twitter clients. Like, right. Like you couldn't tweet from a native client on the Surface.
there lies the irony. Like, if you bought a tablet, could you even tweet from it? If you bought a Surface, can you tweet from it? You have to be able to.
Well, from the web, but
you
and there's
the web like a caveman, but you know,
wait,
like
you're telling me that if you buy a Windows Surface tablet, there is no Twitter app on it?
No, there are. They just all suck. All of the good ones have their tokens taken up by now.
Right. Well, there was a Twitter app that recently, I don't remember what it was called because, you know, I don't run Cult of Windows 8, but you know,
hey, maybe you should. It sounds like an awesome site.
We'll branch out. But, you know, like basically this client hit its token limit, which is the amount of, you know, people who can use it according to Twitter's new crazy rules. And they went to Twitter and they said, hey, you know, we reached the token limit. Can we have some more? And Twitter was just like, nope.
Right. Like, yes. Yeah. I read about this. That's crazy, man, because I mean, I don't know about you guys. I can't stand going to the Twitter website. I never do. I always use different clients. And my favorite client up to this point was Echo Phone. I don't know if you guys have ever used it, but it's great.
Yeah, I can't believe you're still using it.
Yeah, I know. Actually, well, who knows for how much longer because they've ceased development on it because Twitter's rules, I guess, have just made it too hard for them to continue. So I don't know.
Well, that's why Tweetbot on the Mac costs $20 is because they only have so many tokens for it. And
right.
You know,
and once they fill up, I mean, well, I guess that's a lot of tokens, actually.
Yeah, they're trying to make all of their money ahead of the time. So they have like a chunk of change to keep developing for a little while longer.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to figure something out because I'm definitely not using the Twitter website. That sucks. It's for cavemen, as you said earlier, John. Well, hey guys, that's it. That's all the time we have for today. I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, and if you are in Walmart getting sprayed in the face with mace, look over. It might be me spraying you as we reach for the same Xbox game. I want to thank Audible for sponsoring the show. Head over to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast to get your free audiobook. John, what was your recommendation again?
Never Let Me Go.
Never Let Me Go. I like it when you say that to me. And hey, you know, the conversation continues on Twitter. I'm at Airfon Busters, BST3R. John is Dr. Crypt, CRYPT, right?
And also DR, not the whole word doctor.
Okay, there you go. And you can also converse with us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/TheCultCast, where you can win cool software, tell us topics that you want us to talk about, all sorts of cool stuff. This has been The Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of The Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. We will see you next time.
Boom.
Boom. Hey, guys. Darn, I totally forgot to work this into the show. Do you guys want to talk about this real fast?
Sure.
What is it?
It's a question from a listener.
All right.
On Twitter. It's Jautry. I'm not sure how you say it. Jautry7. Jautry7. And he said, and this is actually a great question. Could you guys talk about the streaming services you use on Cultcast? Pwitty, please. He even said it like Porky the Pig, apparently. And I thought this was cool. Do you guys use any streaming services via video or for music or anything?
Tons.
So, John, what do you use?
Well, let's see. I use for music, I mostly use I use Ardio. Ardio is my favorite, like, kind of a la carte music subscription service.
Can I ask you, I'm sure you've tried other services audio-wise, why it's your favorite?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, up until about a couple of years ago, I lived in Europe, so I had access to Spotify over there. And when I came back to America, I was, you know, really bummed that I couldn't use Spotify because it wasn't out here then. And, you know, I ended up, you know, subscribing to RDO. And, like, I just, you know, even to this day, I just think it's better. Like, the apps are nicer looking. They're better designed. They're more recently updated. Like RDO had an iPhone 5 update out, like, in a day or two. Like, Spotify... Oh, really? Didn't they do it like last week or something?
It took them a while. Yeah, it took them four or 5 weeks, I think.
Yeah, and RDO, like, I find their indie selection, like the selection of music that also is like more appeals to me. I find it. I don't know if it's better. Like, I think that, you know, you could just as well go into Spotify and
I think a lot of it's just personal preference. Yeah.
Yeah, but for the kind of music that I like to listen to, I have historically found it slightly more. On RDO than Spotify.
What about video services?
Let's see. I you know, Netflix. I use Amazon Prime a lot. I use. I guess I use the. I'm using the Apple TV a lot more. Hmm. Like just renting movies off of iTunes and stuff. But you know, it's usually like Netflix and Amazon, and then iTunes if I can't find it anywhere else.
Interesting, Buster. What about you? Buster, did you take a potty break?
No, just putting on my shoes, don't worry.
Okay.
No, I use RDIO like John. I like the design a lot better. I also like the heavy rotation feature on RDIO, so I follow a couple people. And
what is the heavy rotation feature?
It just shows you what like people you're following are listening to as well. So okay. You know, when John's listening to Taylor Swift a lot, her album will pop up in the heavy rotation thing.
Oh man, I love Taylor Swift.
You know, stuff like that. But actually, I find, you know, a lot of cool artists that way. You know, because people I follow listen to indie music and stuff like that that I probably wouldn't hear about unless I go search for it. So,
okay. What about video?
Video, I just use Netflix. That's pretty much it. Or I just use AirPlay because I will, you know, acquire movies off of the internet.
You will legally acquire movies off the internet. Yep, and then you need to stream just them.
Do an AirPlay screen share.
Gotcha. You know,
thing. Yeah, AirPlay.
We need to get
great.
Netflix to sponsor our show because I use Netflix too, and their instant streaming feature is the one I subscribe to, and I use it on my Xbox, on the iPad, on the iPhone. I mean, they have so much great content that's always rotating through there. In fact, I don't know if you guys have seen this series. I've been watching The Walking Dead. They have seasons 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, dude. That series. I'm at the very end of season 2 right now. I'm sorry. Yeah, season 2, because season 1 was really short. It was only like 6 episodes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That show is so good. What?
You're not caught up yet?
No. Don't tell me what happens. I'm on the very last episode of season 2. So I use Netflix a ton. For video, and then I actually use Spotify. I was an RDO user for quite a while, and I switched over to Spotify just to try it out. You know, I think their two are very comparable. For me, I switched to Spotify because they had a better music selection for the stuff I listened to, and there were some specific artists that I can't recall now that I used or that I was looking for that RDO didn't have. But I definitely agree, RDO's design is heads and tails better than Spotify. And Spotify also has this bug. I don't know if they fixed it, but it has been driving me crazy where, you know, if you pay, you can sync songs locally so you can listen to them when you're offline. Spotify has this bug where if you are using Wi-Fi, those syncs happen abysmally slow. So slow that it takes 2-3 minutes a song, maybe longer. And if you connect to LTE, each song downloads in 5-6 seconds. And I've been reading all the forums online trying to figure out how to fix it. And Spotify has been silent about it. There's no fix known for it. And it's almost making me want to not pay for their premium service anymore because it's that annoying. But I still like the service in general. What were you going to say, John?
Oh, just I think that's the best. That's the best reason to subscribe to any of these things. Like, I don't even bother with like loading up music on my iOS devices anymore. Like, I just if I like an album, I just tell RDO to kind of like sync it locally. And you know, if I'm in a tunnel or on an airplane or something, it's already there. You know.
And RDO has a really cool feature that I really loved for as far as syncing goes, where you can click sync on the computer, and it will actually start syncing on your iPhone. Is that right? They still have that, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's how I do it, because most of the time I'm listening on the desktop app, and you know, like, so that, you know, if I like an album, I'll just, you know, tell it to sync to mobile, and it just kind of like, you know, handles itself the next time I load up the RDO app.
Yeah, that is super handy. I mean, because I discover music the same way. I'm always listening on the desktop app, and then I'm like, oh, I want to send this to my iPhone. I usually have to create a playlist in Spotify and then sync the playlist on my iPhone if I want to have it there. Are there any streaming services that we're missing? Anyone have anything to add?
I like Turntable .fm a lot.
Oh, you do? Now tell me about that, because I've actually hardly ever used it.
Oh, well, it's just, I think it's just a great music discovery service. Like, you go, it's basically like, you know, the idea is essentially that you're going into rooms where people are DJing, and so, you know, there'll be five DJs on stage, and they'll each have like songs that they choose to play. Either they've uploaded them manually, or they've searched Turntable's database for them. You know, and then they play them, and you know, and you, if the song is terrible and gets like below a 50% rating. No, I think it's like 30%, like a below 30% rating, like the song will be automatically skipped. But, you know, I like it a lot because, you know, you get rooms that are sort of set up by genre. It's got like good camaraderie. People seem to, you know, it really is engaging. Like, I think the biggest problem with Turntable FM is like when I do it, I kind of end up getting just, you know, I get sucked into it so much, like, especially if I'm DJing, that I don't, that I can't do anything else while I'm doing it. You're just paying total attention to the music, which is actually, you know, a great compliment to the service. It just makes it not great when you're working. And they have an iPhone app and stuff. I love it. It's fantastic.
Pandora, you guys use Pandora at all?
I haven't, not for like, I don't know, 4 years.
No. I don't understand why Pandora is as popular as it is, because I mean, a lot of its features, it's very good at finding songs that you like, actually. So in that regard, I can see why people use it. But the fact that it doesn't let you skip past more than like, what is it, like three or four songs before it forces you to listen to every crappy song it's going to play, it just baffles me, because you can use RDO's radio feature, you can use Spotify's radio feature, and you can use them for free on your desktop, and actually, Spotify, you can actually sync to your phone now for free without having to pay anything. And you can just listen to the songs that you like. It doesn't really make any sense to me. But I know there's a lot of Pandora fans out there. I guess maybe they use it because that was one of the original streaming services. Pandora's been around for like, what, like 8 years?
Yeah, it's like people who are still using like AOL or Instant Messenger.
If you use Pandora, you're pretty much using AOL.
Yeah.
Design-wise, I think so. Like, I mean, I forget when the last time I went looked at the site, but I was kind of just shocked at what the site looked like. You know, I think MOG is another one, like Mog.
Yes,
like,
that's one that I get a lot of recommendations for.
Yeah, I've never tried them, but I mean, I don't know. I have friends who are like I think are still on like Napster and whatever weird, you know, permutation that it eventually evolved into. Like, for a while, it was kind of a music subscription service, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah, and then there's Rhapsody, right? Still. Yeah. That's still around. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I think that when you're talking about streaming services, though, like, most of the time, you're just kind of answering the most obvious thing possible. Like, you know, it's like RDO and Spotify are kind of the only real choices in music. And then, you know, like video, like, what are you going to recommend besides Netflix or Amazon or, you know, whatever? Like,
yeah, right. And if you're not in the U.S., I don't even think you can use Amazon.
No. Well, they have like some weird European, you know, contingent, but like.
But I wonder how many countries that's available in.
I think it's just in Germany.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. I think it's called like I Love or something weird like that.
Sounds pretty cool to me. Well, hey, I want to thank John Autry. That's his name, JAutry7 on Twitter, and that was Twitter handle actually makes sense for giving us that question. And I think I should wrap up with this. Gobble gobble, y'all. I'm pretty sure that Tim Cook is going to say that sometime in the next 4 days.